Well, good morning, everyone. Reading in James 3, verses 1 to 12. I'm going to read that. And then I have some thoughts to share on that. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all, and if any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the mouths of horses. Behold, we put bits in the horse's mouth, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold, also the ships, which they be so great, and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with every small helm, with a very small helm. Whethersoever the governor listeneth, even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison, wherewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessings and cursings. My brethren, these things ought not to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. I wrote down the power of the tongue. Thank you. In verses 3 and 4, it illustrates that a bit or a rudder on a ship, a bit in a horse's mouth or a rudder on the ship will direct the course of the horse or the ship. And I was just curious, so I did a little Google research on how big is the human tongue. It's 4 inches on average. It's less than 1% of your whole body. It's way less than 1% of your whole body. But yet, it's powerful enough to bring life or death. Same way with the bit in the horse's mouth. I mean, it's maybe about you know, 6 inches wide or so. But yet, it controls the horse. I just kind of looked up a little bit of the rudder of a ship. I forget, the ship was 153,000 some tons what it weighed. The rudder weighed 230 tons. And the blades, the propellers, weighed 30 tons. And the ship was, 1,800 some feet, I think. I forget now the exact dimensions on how long it was. I'm just thinking, and it said, normally on big ships, the rudder is less than 1% of the ship. But it will take the ship in each direction that it wants to go. And I just found that interesting, that if the captain does not know what's out ahead, there's danger. But he has a rudder there to, you know, take it wherever he wants to go. Just like us. We have a tongue that can bring life or death. Words carry a significant weight, capable of bringing both life and death, building up or tearing down people, and influencing relationships and outcomes. The tongue can be used to spread truth and encouragement, or it can be used to bring pain, division, and destruction. The tongue will direct the church, family, business. The tongue has the power to destroy. In verses 5 and 6 there, it says it's a little member and boasts great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, and the world of iniquity, of sin, it's sin. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. In Matthew 15, if we don't know what, if we think things and we don't just say it, our thoughts, I'll just read the verse 18. In Matthew 15, but those things which proceedeth out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceedeth evil thoughts, murderers, adulterers, fornication, thefts, false witnesses, and blasphemy. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man. So, I'm just thinking of, like, sometimes we bottle things up and we bottle things up, and all of a sudden our lid pops. That's what's in our heart. But like Alvy shared, we can come to the foot of the cross again and repent of those ways. in Proverbs 18:1, it says, unfriendly people, I think this is the New Living, I forgot to write that down. Unfriendly people care only about themselves. They lash out at common sense. And here's some warnings about an unruly tongue. Romans 16, verse 17. I urge you, brothers and sisters, to watch out for those who cause divisions and put obstacles in your way that are contrary to the teaching you have learned. Keep away from them. Proverbs 16:28. A perverse person stirs up conflict, and a gossip separates close friends. I would venture to say that most of us probably have experienced Proverbs 16, verse 28, the latter part. A gossip separates close friends. I do remember one time at school, I had shared something with one of my good friends. And then he went and told other people. And then from that day on, I was just like, okay, I'll never share personal things with him again. It separates. In Titus 3:10-11, anyone who is causing divisions after being warned a first and second time, do not associate with them. You can be sure that such a person is warped and sinful, for they are self-condemned. Lying, backbiting, gossiping, creating divisions. It is sin and will have no place in heaven, but will be thrown into the lake of fire. The tongue also has power to give life to someone. And here's some verses. In Isaiah 41:10, it says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen you. Yea, I will help you. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Isn't that an encouraging verse? John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, the thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. In Proverbs 18:4, wise words are like deep waters. Wisdom flows from the wise like a bubbling brook. Every time I read that, I think a lot of times we like to go to Tennessee or things like that, where there's a lot of creeks, and you can hear, sit outside and you can just hear the water just bubbling across the rocks, and it's so peaceful. We need to understand that the way we use our words with each other affects the nature of our praise to God. God no more accepts words of love and devotion from a mouth full of insults and hatred than we would except drinking water from a polluted spring. And I started thinking of just the power of our tongue, the power of our words. And I've been really thinking about that. And It turned me to Genesis. Genesis 1. I'm just thinking of the power of words and the power of the tongue. It says, I'll just read a few verses. The whole chapter is full of them, but I'll just read a few verses and just kind of expound a few of those. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved about the face of the waters. And God said, this is the beginning of that. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. The power of the tongue. And God saw that the light was good. And God divided the light from darkness. And God called the light day. And darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning and the morning were the first day. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. I was just thinking, God said, and it was. In the first chapter there, and he said it was good. He commanded it into existence. The power of words. Only with God's help can we control our tongue. We cannot do it ourselves. Only with a renewed spirit. In Psalm 67, verse 1, just turn to that quick. You know, says that God be merciful unto us and bless us, and He caused His face to shine upon us. Now think of it says, and caused His face to shine upon us. It's in the Hebrew. As I was doing research on that verse in Hebrews, it means to when you have a baby and they're real young yet, they can't sit up or do anything on their own, and you start talking to them, you know, you talk all gibberish and it brings a smile. You do everything that you can to get a smile on that baby's face. That's God's heart to us. And I just want to close in Psalms 19, 14. We need to regularly acknowledge God and ask for discernment and His help, His grace, to help us to remain conscious of our words that we use. In Psalms 19, verse 14, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. May the Lord bless you.